mother-in-law was sick in bed, burning up with fever. They told Jesus, and he went to her, took her hand, and raised her up. No sooner had the fever left than she was fixing dinner for them. That evening, after the sun was down, they brought sick and evil-afflicted people to him. The whole city lined up at his door. He cured their sick bodies and their tormented spirits. Because the evil spirits knew his true identity, he didn't let them say a word. While it was still night, way before dawn, Jesus got up and went out to a secluded spot to pray. Simon and those with him went looking for Jesus. They found him and said, "Everybody is looking for you." Jesus said, "Let's go to the rest of the villages so I can preach there also. This is why I've come." He went to their meeting places all through Galilee, preaching and throwing out the evil spirits. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your word today. Your word that we can sing in song. Your word that we can recount all times and places. May we be attentive to your word this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready to eat? This day, Super Bowl Sunday, is one of the highest eating days in the United States every year. Did you know that? That's like real fact. That's not fake news. We're going to consume 3.6 million pounds of guacamole. Now, you may not personally consume 3.6 pounds of guacamole, but around the United States, just imagine how much guacamole that is. And just imagine as well the 3.6 million pounds of guacamole requires a tortilla chip in order to eat it. So that means that we're going to need 1.3 billion tortilla chips. That's a lot of tortilla chips. Over a billion chicken wings are going to be consumed today. A billion? What? And pizza sales are going to increase by over 60%, according to Domino's, every year. They sell more than 60% more pizza on the Super Bowl Sunday than any other day. Guess how many slices? 15 million slices of pizza. Now, that's a lot of pizza. And some people have special diets, so they eat other foods. And so those other foods are consumed by them as well. And so today, Super Bowl Sunday, or SBS for short, SBS is a very special day in the United States, even if you're not a football fan. Because it's one of very few holidays in the United States where the entire nation can kind of celebrate in their own way. Whether you like football or not, whether you like the Eagles or you like the Patriots, it doesn't matter. You can participate in your own way. It's a day that everybody is sort of in a celebratory mood. It's not unlike Christmas in the United States. Now, we may say Christmas is a celebration and reminder of Jesus' birth. And so we reconnect, and spiritually we're just mindful of how awesome that was, that God didn't stay God on the outside, but moved inside into our community. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." God doesn't move out of neighborhoods. God moves into neighborhoods. And so Christmas is one of those days, even if you don't understand the story that way, it's a day at least to celebrate giving. It's the highest day for nonprofits to receive during the Christmas season. It's the highest income day of any other season of the year around Christmas time. So whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, Christmas is something that can be a shared experience at some level. And the third great day in the United States, of course, is Thanksgiving. Whether you like turkey or not, I for one am really tired of that bird. No pun intended. But turkey is just not my favorite. But does that mean I don't like Thanksgiving? No. I can have roast beef if I want. I can have ham if I want. I can have chicken salad, which actually is my preferred bird. And so no matter what our holiday in the United States, Super Bowl is just one of those that we don't need to be a football fan or wear green or root for the Eagles at 6 p.m. tonight. We can just celebrate in our own way. The most important thing that we'll do today, whether you watch it or not, I used to watch the Super Bowl. I'm not a huge sports fan, but I like the ads usually. Recent years have been a little disappointing, but I do like watching a lot of the commercials and things, and I like thinking about them and wondering like how somebody could spend $5 million for 30 seconds and how that means something to them, assuming they're smart people. And so our time today at the Super Bowl game is not rooting for the people we see on our TVs, but actually it's rooting for the people that are seated on your couches and in your Lazy Boys and standing in the kitchen preparing more food. Super Bowl Sunday is a day for all of us to celebrate the people God has brought into our life. We may not be able to be outside at the Super Bowl, but we will be inside today and hopefully safe and warm. Whether the game is on or not, I hope you remember to celebrate the team that God gave you. Even if you live alone, even if your family may be away for the day and it's just you, just to have a moment to remember, you are not alone on this planet. God has given you people to care for. And if that list is a little short, gee, I wish I had more friends, I wish I had more people, I hope you know that you have friends here at Cold Spring Church. And that however distant they may be across the aisle or in the front or back of you, that when we said hello, I'm glad you're here today, earlier, that the people who said that, I think, really meant it. So you have friends. Celebrate them during the game. One of the things that Paul talked about in the reading from Corinthians that Rob read for us a few minutes ago was kind of like cheating, like some of us will do on our diets today. But the kind of cheating Paul was doing was setting aside his own preferences, his own kind of his own way of life, his own preferred way of doing things. He said, for instance, to those outside the law, I have become like somebody outside the law. And you'll notice if you followed along today, in parentheses, Paul said, not that I need to follow the law, because I follow the law of Christ. But, he said, I'll cheat today. Paul says, I'll cheat a little bit and say, I'm going to act like somebody outside the law so that I can reach people outside the law. And to those that are inside the law, I'm going to become as one inside the law. So that Paul doesn't want to be an offense to anybody. Paul wants to take the offense in order to reach everybody. So Paul says, that I might win some. See, Paul was interested not so much in touchdowns. Paul was interested, though, in points. And not just arbitrary points. He was interested, really, in lives. He was interested in transforming lives of people through Christ. Not the kind of a tick list, oh, I did that, I saw that person, I gave that person a track, I handed that thing out to them, okay, fine, they came to that, okay, fine, I'm all done. No, Paul says, I have become all things to all people that I might win some. Not to himself, not to get people to sit on his couch, not just to show how great he is. Paul did these things in order, like John the Baptist, pointing people to Christ. Paul made it his mission to do whatever it took, whether he was inside or outside, to reach other people for Christ. That's why our slogan that we have, transforming lives, communities, and the world. But we don't transform lives. What we do is gather people together in experiences, whether at worship or at dinner or wherever it is, so that people might have an experience with Christ in their own way. So we invite people, as if on our living room couch, to share our guacamole, to share our tortilla chips, to celebrate an event in hopes that Christ might, in that moment, touch their life too. So Paul's mission was to make sure that people scored a touchdown in their own lives. God has a plan for your life. He loves you more than you could possibly imagine. And God's not done with you just yet. And so whatever God is doing in your life, know that God means it for good and that you will prosper. As he says, even when you feel tired, he will lift you up. Now, Jesus was a very popular person. The passage or the verse that I read a moment ago said, everybody is looking for Jesus. Now, if you were to go out and take a survey down across the street, and you would say, excuse me, I'm from Cold Spring Church. Are you looking for Jesus? What do you think they'd say? Well, after they get off the 911 button, calling because the crazy people at Cold Spring Church are asking, I guess Jesus is lost because they're looking for Jesus. I don't know what's going on. But Jesus, it says in the passage, everybody was looking for him. Why? Well, last week's passage, we were in the synagogue. We were in what you would expect to be a safe place. And in the midst of that synagogue, there was a person there with troubling spirits, with evil spirits. And that spirit spoke out. I don't know whether that spirit spoke out before Jesus got there or because Jesus got there. But in any case, even in safe places, we can be filled with anxiety. We can be sort of beside ourselves. We can not be quite aligned with what we know us to really feel and to be like in a day. And so we need to turn our lives to Christ and say, Jesus, just bring some peace of mind. Bring clarity to me. Remind me of your love because I'm just feeling anxious. Jesus brought that kind of authority. And as soon as he left that synagogue experience, casting out that evil spirit and reminding them that they are to make a difference in their community, Jesus went out, and the very first thing at walking out the door, Peter says, oh, Jesus, my mother-in-law's sick. Would you come and heal her, please? Now, we don't know why. Maybe Peter liked his mother-in-law. Sorry, apologies to mothers-in-law. I've loved mine. But maybe Peter didn't really like his mother-in-law too much. But you know, it says that the mother-in-law was in bed and not preparing any meals. Don't beat up the messenger. I'm just saying what's there. And so the mother-in-law is sick in bed. Everybody is hungry. Peter comes to Jesus and says, would you please help my mother-in-law? She has a fever. She's sick. She's real bad off. And of course, Jesus, what does he do? Well, he goes over, takes her hand, and says, hey, mom, it's time to get up. You got work to do. Come on. Peter, we all love you. Come on, get up. And at that moment, her fever goes away and she rises. And it says immediately she began to serve them. Well, that's awesome news. But that news wasn't enough. Because as soon as the word got out, hey, did you hear about Peter's mother-in-law? No, what happened? Well, she was sick, not preparing any food. And all of a sudden, Jesus healed her, and now she's serving again. Well, that's wonderful. Listen, I have a friend that's sick. Maybe I'll bring him over. Sure, bring him down. And now, outside Peter's house, just imagine this, outside Peter's mother-in-law's house, and just remember the lines of people now just cascading around the corner, around the block, just everybody lining up, waiting to see Jesus. That's when the text says, everybody's looking for him. And they found him there. And it says, Jesus healed many. Next. Number 29. Next. Number 30. Next. Thank you. Thank you for coming today. You were healed. Thank you for stopping by. You were healed. Well, imagine how Jesus felt after all that. So it says, early in the morning, before the sun rose, Jesus snuck out. It's the only peace he could find. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel a little overwhelmed? Do you ever feel like, I just wish they'd stop calling? And that's the telemarketers, not your family. And I wish people would stop asking to borrow, you know, my air compressor. Why can't they get their own air compressor? I just wish the people would just, I need a break. And sometimes we're like under the weather, we need a break. Like Melissa today, she's feeling a bad cold and a head cold and stuff. She stayed home today. It's hard to find space in order sometimes even to take care of yourself. Imagine how Jesus felt. And so he sneaks out and it says the disciples were looking for him. And so Peter and the disciples go and they find him. They say, Jesus, where have you gone? Everybody's still looking for you. And Jesus tells them this. He says, let's go to the rest of the villages so I can preach there also. For this is why I have come. Let me say that one more time. Jesus said, let's go to the rest of the villages so I can preach there also. For this is why I've come. We know Jesus came for a lot of reasons, right? We know Jesus came to die on a cross for our sins. He dead and buried. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. We know Jesus has a planned return sometime in the future to set all things right. And yet we still have experiences here where we need God's everlasting touch, because God didn't tell us, just wait till you get to heaven, everything will be fine. Jesus says, as it is on earth, it'll be in heaven, and as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. God wants us to be participating with him to bring transformation and new life, the abundant life here and now. Not just to say, hey, go to heaven, everything will be fine, but to say, hey, meet Christ, and your life can be totally transformed. And I can't tell you all the ways it will be transformed, because that's between you and God. It's your own spiritual journey. But I know that once you connect with Christ, that your life could never be the same again. It'll be totally, positively better. And Jesus says, this is why I've come. Yes, I've come to redeem sinners. I've come to call people to the kingdom of heaven that is within you. I have come that all might find life. But he also says, I have also come to go to the other villages. See, Jesus wasn't content to stay in the synagogue where he cast out that evil spirit and taught that day as someone with authority. He could have set up an office there. You know, Jesus, hours, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., lunch break, 12 noon to 1. Hey, he could have just set up shop there and just spent the whole rest of his time. And then when the day he needed to go to Jerusalem, he had his little Apple Watch go off and say, oops, time to go to Jerusalem. I got to die on the cross about 3 o'clock today. I'm going to get moving. And he could have just shown up at the cross, hopped on, and had it all done. But it didn't happen that way. It didn't happen that way because Jesus' mission was not just to hang out in the synagogue. Jesus' mission was not just to sit in front of a television. Jesus' mission was not just to sit out in church. Jesus' mission was to go to other villages. So he went from the synagogue to Simon Peter's home, and kind of contained within that house there, he heals Simon Peter's mom, everybody's fine, and now the whole town is lining up, which is all good. But Jesus, where have you been? I have to go to other villages. I have to meet other people. You know, there's some of us here at Cold Spring Church that God has called us right now in our kind of our phase of life, our cycle of life. You know, we used to be on the deacon board. We used to be on session. We used to run Sunday school. We used to volunteer for Vacation Bible School. Remember that year? It was one whole week in a row. I mean, we did those things. And now God is saying, you know what? Take a break. Why don't you just rest? Well, why don't you come to worship every week and say hi to your friends and just know that God loves you and wants to just enforce and reinforce that experience that you have. And when opportunities come up to do something more, will you go ahead and do it? Now, others of us in our cycle of life, in our phase, in our experience, you know, we may say to God, God, I feel overwhelmed. And God says, oh, no, you don't. God taps us on the shoulder and you say, I really need a rest. God says, oh, no, you don't. You know who you are. I don't know who you are. But you know who you are. And God may be wanting you to do that something more. That thing you said, I'll do it sometime. Or that thing when I retire. Or that thing after I retire. Or that thing after I go back to work. Or that thing, whatever it is. And God taps you on the shoulder and says, I need to reach other villages. You in? I need to do just a few more things here before I go to the cross, before I die and rise again from the dead. I need to do something before I return in glory someday. Are you in? And there's no guilt, no condemnation, no pressure, no judgment. Some of us will get that tap and we need to say yes. And others of us will say, no, God said it's time for me to do this and this, and that's what I'm going to do. And we respect and honor whatever that choice is. But if Jesus didn't go to the other villages, we would not be here in Cold Spring. If Jesus didn't go to other villages and others like Paul set aside their own preferences to stay inside and choose in their own way to go outside, we would not be here because guess what? We are outside. Cold Spring Church is outside Jesus' experience back in Galilee 3,000 years ago. And so we have this experience together, knowing that Paul agreed to set aside everything so that he didn't stay on the inside, he was willing to go on the outside, as tough as it was. And Jesus reminded the disciples that I have not come to hang out in your house. I have not come just to be your little buddy and hang out with you and cure you when you get a bad cold. I have actually come, and you can come with me, so that we can reach others who aren't here. And so the game that's played, if you will, it's not the game that we have currently on the field. It's all over the world that God wants us to engage in our own way. And so that our goal as Cold Spring Church is not just to fill the sanctuary with people, although that would be an awesome thing, but our goal is, if we filled our sanctuary with people, like here today, you here today, is not to keep you in here, but to send you out. To share guacamole and tortilla chips. To share a word of goodness and kindness to a neighbor. To act responsibly and respectably to everybody you meet along the way. To let people know that people that follow Jesus aren't a bunch of crazy lunatics. To let people know that people who have a devoted, passionate spiritual life are not trying to cajole and control all their friends to be just like them. That actually following Christ should be normal. That it's becoming more human, not less so, because Jesus was fully human and fully divine. So being fully human is an aspiration that we should all have. I'm glad that Jesus reminded the disciples about the other villages. I don't know what they said to that. It's not clear. There's not really a response that they gave to him at that. But I could just sort of read between the lines. Jesus says, oh, you're looking for me. Hey, here's news. I've actually come to go to other villages. That's why I've come. And they go, what? We're not done yet? We're so tired. We just got up. We don't have any more time left. I didn't bring my wallet. Well, I don't know what the disciples said, but I know I might have said something like that. And Jesus says, no, Kevin, no. Just hang on, because we have other villages, other households. 32,000 households in our area. We have other households to share the good news with. There are other people around us that need to hear the gospel. We can't do it all. Other congregations do their own thing. We have our mission, whatever that is, and our mission needs to score. Because we don't want to be an offense to people. But we need to be on the offense. You can't win a football game on defense. Sometimes I think churches around us feel like they're in a defensive posture. We're trying to hunker down and hold on to what we got. And don't you take that from me. And how dare you change that or whatever. And these are all good preferences that we have. But we can't be in a defensive posture as a follower of Christ. Because to be a follower of Christ means we have to get up and go, even if it's with a walker. We have to get up and go, even though we have to drive somewhere to get there, or walk somewhere, or pick up the phone, or get an email address and send somebody a note. We have to do whatever we need to do, but we can't be an offense to people. We have to be on the offense with people, and always moving, however slow, in whatever direction God calls us in, because there are others in your life that God wants to reach. And that's why Jesus came. Let us pray. Just in a moment of silence, think about the story of Jesus I just shared. How has Jesus healed you, and who is it you are serving for him? Where have you found Jesus in the past? Jesus' mission requires us to leave those who want him to stay. He's always on the move. How is God asking you to move just a bit in order to reach others? Who do you notice as you leave church today? What communities do you drive through, houses, people? Even just to offer a word of prayer. Dear God, bless that household. Bless those kids. Bless that senior facility that I pass. Thank you for the firemen there at the fire department. We're grateful for them. Thank you for the police that serve our community. Thank you for those that have given their life for our country. Lord, thank you for giving our community something to hope in, even if it is silly like football. Lord, we thank you for being with us on the inside so that we can go outside. Amen.